50. In the mansion's elegant library, Pendergast sat in a leather wing chair. Although it was early summer, the night was blustery and chill, and a low fire flickered on the grate. He was leafing through a copy of the Manyoshu, an old and celebrated anthology of Japanese poetry, dating to A.D. 750. A small tetsubin, or cast-iron teapot, sat on a table beside him, along with a china cup half-full of green tea. Nothing disturbed his concentration. The only sounds were the occasional crackle of settling embers and rumble of thunder from beyond the closed shutters. Now there was a faint sound of footsteps from the reception hall beyond, and Constance Green appeared, framed in the library doorway. She was wearing a simple evening dress, her violet eyes and dark hair cut in an old-fashioned bob, offset the paleness of her skin. In one hand, she held a bundle of letters. "The mail," she said. Pendergast inclined his head, set the book aside. Constance took a seat beside Pendergast, noting that since he had come back from what he called his Colorado adventure, he was at last looking like his old self. His state of mind had been a cause of uneasiness in her since the dreadful events of the prior year. She began sorting through the small stack of mail, putting aside the things that would not interest him. Pendergast did not like to concern himself with quotidian details. He had an old and discreet New Orleans law firm, long in the employ of the family, to pay bills and manage part of his unusually extensive income. He had an equally hoary New York banking firm to manage other investments, trusts, and real estate, and he had all mail delivered to a post office box, which Proctor, his chauffeur, bodyguard, and general factotum, collected on a regular basis. At present, Proctor was preparing to leave for a visit to relatives in Alsace, so Constance had agreed to take over the epistolary matters. "Here's a note from Corey Swanson."
"Open it, if you please."
She attached a photocopy of a letter from John Jay. Her thesis won the Rosewell Prize.
"Indeed, I attended the ceremony."
"I'm sure Corey appreciated it."
"It is rare that a graduation ceremony offers more than an anesthetizing parade of platitudes and mendacity, set to the tiresome refrain of pomp and circumstance."
Pendergast took a sip of tea at the recollection.
"This one did."
Constance sorted through more mail. "And here's a letter from Vincent D'Agosta and Laura Hayward."
He nodded for her to scan it.
"It's a thank you note for the wedding gift and once again for the dinner party." Pendergast inclined his head as she put the letter aside. The month before, on the eve of D'Agosta's wedding, Pendergast had hosted a private dinner for the couple, consisting of several courses he had prepared himself, paired with rare wines from his cellar. It was this gesture, more than anything, that had convinced Constance that Pendergast had recovered from his recent emotional trauma. She read over a few other letters, then put aside those of interest and tossed the rest on the fire.
"How is the project coming, Constance?"
Pendergast asked as he poured himself a fresh cup of tea.
"Very well. Just yesterday I received a packet from France. The Bureau en Sostre de Dijon, which I'm now trying to integrate with what I've already collected from Venice and Louisiana. When you have the time, I do have a couple of questions I'd like to ask about Augustus Robespierre Saint-Cyr Pendergast."
"Most of what I know consists of oral family history, tall tales, legends, and some whispered horror stories. I'd be glad to share most of them with you."
"Most? I was hoping you'd share them all."
"I fear there are skeletons in the Pendergast family closet, figurative and literal, that I must keep even from you."
Constance sighed and rose. As Pendergast returned to his book of poetry,